Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Anakin, my allegiance is to the Republic, to democracy!
Nice.
Why not?
Okay, fair enough. that's completely thrown me. I wasn't expecting a Star Wars quote quite no. that early on.
No, I don't know why I went for that. A few quotes, a few songs. I thought today I'll go for a movie, one of my favourite movies, so why not?
And you do a good Obi-Wan impression, in fairness.
Hello there. Yeah. No, it's not that great. There's better people. I really wish I could do loads of impressions and just do one every week, but I can't. I'm not very good at them.
I'm the same. I do terrible impressions of people. This week's episode... you obviously we're only a couple of weeks into the new year, and we started it off on good momentum, and you said you wanted to keep it going with a good big bang.
Yep.
Today's episode produced quite a big bang.
Oh, it did. Yeah. It's a big one.
It is
potentially, or should I say, I think allegedly one of the biggest conspiracies in the world
ever. Yeah, definitely.
It's easily...
It's on the top three.
Top three, got to be. So today, everyone, we are going to cover 9/11. Mm. And it's going to be a two-parter because there was so much information. I basically went into a rabbit hole for 2 days and I got so much information to the point where a lot of it... Well, I wouldn't say a lot of it, some of it, I didn't even think it was worth... including because it was just little
some people come up with stupid ideas, don't they, little explanations for things. In fact, because of the nature of today's podcast, I just want to put in a little disclaimer, particularly to United States where it happened. The nature of our podcast is we're a little bit of a comedy podcast. There might be some jokes. We don't mean to offend anybody. We just want to try and keep it a little lighthearted. We want to, because obviously it is a very serious subject. So yeah, we're going to tread carefully, but we're still going to try and make it lighthearted and entertaining. So we hope that we don't offend anybody. And we really do, peace and love to anybody that was involved in that disaster.
We
do feel for you.
I mean, I think some of it, there's not going to be that many opportunities to make jokes at things. But
not
if
really.
We do make the odd comment, it's not a big deal because there's professional comedians like Pete Davidson and things who quite often joke about 9/11.
I think we've waited a sufficient number of years for the horror to subside a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was South Park that started making AIDS jokes because they said it had been 22 years or whatever. I think this is, it's going to be a good, well, I'm hoping it'll be a good two-parter, and it will make people think about certain aspects of this, and maybe they've not heard some of the information that I'm going to tell. But I thought straight away, just to start things off, I'm going to give a brief statement of what 9/11 is for people that don't know, because it sounds crazy, but there is going to be, like, especially the younger generation.
You are right, yeah. The two lads that we work with regularly, they're only in their early 20s.
Mm.
One of them was born after the event.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when we were talking about it earlier at work, and I was saying how I witnessed it on the TV, in live real time, he was like, wow, I didn't even realize it was that big a thing. It is.
Yeah,
it
was
a massive, massive deal.
Yeah, so I'll quickly say that 9/11 was it was four coordinated terrorist attacks carried out by Al-Qaeda, an Islamist extremist group, with Osama bin Laden being the leader or the mastermind of the group. In total, 2,996 people lost their lives on that day.
R.I.P.
And so, conspiracy or not, this is a tragedy that did shake the world.
Oh, definitely,
I still remember, I think I was, 10, 11 when it happened, and I don't have that great of a memory with it. I just remember my mum stood there just staring at TV because she couldn't believe what was going on, and I was too young to understand.
I was 20 years old,
mm-hmm.
and I'd got off work early that day. I can't remember why. But for some reason, I was at home and I turned on the telly to watch the 1:30 showing of Neighbours.
Yeah, yeah.
Which obviously used to be a program. It's not even on anymore, but they used to show it at 1:30 and then 5:30, didn't they, on BBC One. And I switched it on to watch the lunchtime matinee performance of it, and it was just news headlines. There was, smoke coming out of one of the two towers, and as I was watching it, 4 or 5 minutes later, I literally actually watched the second plane crash with my own two eyes on the telly right in front of me there and then. So I kind of did witness it.
Yeah, shocking, isn't it? Just
yeah.
So that is basically what happened, but I'm going to actually go through, dates.
Yeah,
times,
go for it. Yeah, give us the details.
So bear with me, but this is the actual account of what happened. So the Twin Towers were 110 floors tall. With
center of the stock market.
Yes, very central, with 43,600 windows and 600,000 square feet of glass.
Wow.
The Pentagon was also attacked, which resulted in 184 people losing their life. So on the 11th of September 2001... 19 terrorists smuggled box cutters and knives through security at three East Coast airports, Boston, Dulles, and New Jersey. The planes were chosen due to the amount of jet fuel aboard, as they were bound for California, so it was more jet fuel.
Right, yeah.
And soon after takeoff, the planes were commandeered, transforming ordinary passenger planes into guided missiles. The first impact was American Airlines Flight 11, which flew into the North Tower of the World Trade Center complex in Lower Manhattan at 8:46 a.m. 16 minutes later, at 9:03 a.m., the World Trade Center's South Tower was hit by United Airlines Flight 175. As millions watched these events unfold in New York, American Airlines Flight 77... circled over downtown Washington, D.C. before crashing into the west side of the Pentagon, the military headquarters, at 9:45 a.m.
Yeah, it was slightly later, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. And less than 15 minutes after the terrorist struck the nerve center of the U.S. military, the horror in New York took a catastrophic turn when the South Tower of the World Trade Center collapsed in a massive cloud of dust and smoke. At 10:30 a.m., the north building of the Twin Towers collapsed. Only 18 people in the towers at the time survived. mostly due to the firefighters in stairwell B. And rubble actually protected one woman. One woman survived from being covered in rubble.
Right. Entombed.
Yeah, yeah, basically, which is crazy.
It is crazy. The whole thing was crazy just after the planes actually crashed. Obviously, the two towers were in absolute turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
People trying to rush down the stair. The elevators weren't going to work, so everybody's crowding onto the stairwells. Parts of the building were on fire. People were jumping out of the window from 110 floors up.
Yeah, some of them videos, I saw one where there was a firefighter and he's obviously looking at the building, and you can see them turn away and they're flinching because they're just seeing people jumping
hit the floor.
Out and you can hear the thuds and it's awful.
That was horrific. You think, what's going through that person's mind to think jumping out of a window 80 floors up is a better fate than whatever's happening in that building, you know?
Very true. And 10,000 people were treated for injuries, many being severe.
A lot of them would have been just passers-by, people on the street.
Yeah, yeah, there was a lot of that as well. A lot of people injured. The fourth plane, United Flight 93, was hijacked around 40 minutes after leaving Newark, Liberty International Airport in New Jersey. Because the plane had been delayed in taking off, passengers on board learned of the events that had already occurred in New York and Washington via cell phones and airphone calls to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the plane wasn't going to return or land safely, a group of passengers and flight attendants planned an insurrection. So I just want to mention a few of the heroes on that flight that basically stopped
the fourth plane.
I thought, power to them, that is absolutely incredible. So one of the passengers, Thomas Burnett Jr., he rang his wife over the phone and said that, I know we're all going to die. There's three of us who are going to do something about it. So he was kind of the person that wanted to, you know, start the plan and the insurrection.
I don't know, well, it might not have been him, but I did hear some recordings of actual, you know, telephone communications from within one of the planes. I can't remember which one.
Passenger Todd Beamer was heard saying on one of the phone calls, "Are you guys ready? Let's roll." So power to him. That's like an action film kind of line.
Sort of, good one-liner.
That was over an open line. And a flight attendant called Sandy Bradshaw, she filled pitchers with boiling water ready to use against the hijackers. And she also had a phone call with her husband and things. And that was quite hard to listen to be fair.
Oh, it might have been not a voicemail message that I heard. People who, you know, were trying to ring their loved ones and for whatever reason they didn't pick up and that was the last they ever heard from them. Very sad.
Yeah, it is. So those three people, especially, there were other heroes and there were other names.
Undoubtedly,
but it was those three people that basically took the action that said, we're not going down without a fight, basically. And thanks to those four, plus the other people, that the plane didn't actually cause any damage to anyone else, really. It was just the people on the plane, unfortunately. So the passengers fought the four hijackers, but it's believed they used a fire extinguisher in the cockpit, which resulted in the plane flipping over and nosediving at 500 miles per hour before crashing in a rural field near Skanksville, Pennsylvania at 10:10 a.m. Unfortunately, all 44 people lost their lives and the intended target was unknown, but there are theories strongly suggesting it was either going to be the White House or a nuclear power plant along the eastern seaboard.
Mm.
So they're the two main kind of ideas as where they think they were going to go. At 7 p.m., President George W. Bush, who was obviously president at the time, he was in Florida at the time of the attacks. He spent all day being moved around the country because of security concerns. He eventually returned to the White House at 9 p.m. He delivered a televised speech from the Oval Office declaring, "Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shatter steel, but they cannot dent the steel of American resolve.
I remember seeing... I'm saying this carefully.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was this event where I remember seeing George W. Bush was visiting a school mm-hmm. at the time.
Yeah, it was.
He was sat in front of a class full of children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you say, reading a book or something. And one of his CIA guys comes over and just whispers in his ear, and he did not react at all.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Probably some resolve, shock,
that, isn't it?
I imagine shock was a lot of it, but also, I mean, what can you do when you're
exactly,
in a room full of children and, yeah.
You're not just going to go, panic! Yeah. Like...
So, Operation Enduring Freedom, the American-led international effort to oust the Taliban regime in Afghanistan and destroy Osama bin Laden's terrorist network, began on October 7th. Within 2 months, U.S. forces had effectively removed the Taliban from operational power, but the war continued as U.S. and coalition forces attempted to defeat a Taliban insurgency campaign based in neighboring Pakistan. And Osama bin Laden, the mastermind behind the 9/11 attacks, remained at large until May 2nd, 2011, when he was finally tracked down and killed by U.S. forces at a hideout in Abbottabad, Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
In
mountaintop hideout, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. In June 2011, when President Barack Obama announced the beginning of large-scale troop withdrawals from Afghanistan, it took until August 2021 for all U.S. forces to withdraw. So that is the span of what operation. Happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty crazy. Crazy, all of that stuff. So now that we've brought everyone up to speed with the full story and what happened, there's certain details and things, like obviously I've given you the flight numbers because that's going to come up again with these theories. So I thought what I would do for this podcast and for part two is for part one, we're just going to go through all, well, not all, but the main...
The conspiracy points.
Yeah, and what people have considered to be, oh, well, this didn't happen because of this, and then, you know, all the the big things that you've heard of, like...
it's the government.
Yeah, controlled demolition and all that. So we're going to go through all of the conspiracy points and chat about them, how we feel.
Yeah.
And...
Cool, you've got a few of them.
Yeah, a fair few. I've got a few screenshots and things as well. And then in part two... Because this is going to be a good two-part.
Yeah, well, we're already over 15 minutes in.
Hell yeah. So part two. We've
got to the conspiracy part yet.
And part two, I told you, man, this is, I've done so much research in this. I'm so excited about it. Well, you know, it's, I've been waiting to get involved in
this. This is a big one for you. I know ever since we first started the podcast, you put this one on the list.
Yeah.
And you were like, no, we'll wait.
I'm just fascinated. And now it's time. And yeah, so part two, I'm thinking we'll go through and debunk all of the theories that we can.
Yeah.
Because I have actually got scientific explanations and
quotes
and commission reports and all sorts that we can refer to. So
fair enough. Right. Yeah. Let's dive into these conspiracy points then and see what what crazy things people have thought up.
So the biggest conspiracy point for a lot of theorists is that the government officials had advanced knowledge of the attacks and it was all planned, an inside job, essentially.
Right. Yeah. Now,
go for it.
Yeah, no, because I mentioned this to you earlier. I'm fairly sure that I remember years and years ago, around about the time of it, seeing a news report that obviously they declared Osama bin Laden as public enemy number one.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I heard a news report that bin Laden was actually in the United States at the time of the hijacking, at 9/11, and he was secretly shipped out of United States back to Afghanistan or wherever it was, the day after.
Okay. That's a fun theory.
I know. Obviously, I'm only going by my memory. We looked into this earlier because I said, shall I mention this? And so we looked it up. Cannot find anything on any of the search engines that backs that up.
Mm-hmm.
But we did find evidence that there were some of his insurgents.
Yes, I believe the guy was called Yusuf.
Yeah.
He was in America.
And they allegedly were shipped out of America back to Afghan.
Yes, so one of the conspiracies there is that the day after 9/11, the Bush administration gathered all of the important people from certain countries like Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Israel, things like that.
Yeah, Oman.
And shipped them all back, for whether it was for safety, for hiding, right. Whether there's information there that we just don't know. But the rumours are that is
genuine. Then he did ship a bunch of foreign nationals back to their own countries. But
I mean,
maybe not Osama bin Laden, probably wasn't one of them.
No. Osama bin Laden, the only thing we could find was his first wife wrote like a memoir or whatever.
Yeah.
And said that he was in America for 2 or 3 weeks in 1979.
That's right, yeah.
And the majority of his time was in Indiana and Los Angeles. But it was to meet with other shamans and things. And
okay, yeah.
But that was the only thing, and it's hearsay. So we can't say for sure. Other reports say that bin Laden has never been in America, but then his son has been to America. So it's very confusing.
It is,
and
yeah.
I will also just make the point of, with a lot of these conspiracies, we're not going to have another allegedly episode because it's just going to get ridiculous. Mm. But what I will say is a lot of these conspiracy theories are either denied or ignored or written in the commission report as just false.
Okay.
So I feel like we can talk about these freely because we are addressing the fact that they are conspiracy theorist points.
And we're going to be debunking them if we can
in part two. Next week. Yeah. So we're not saying these things are true. This is just what pops up.
Yeah, this is what has been reported as a conspiracy theory.
Yes. So yeah, that was the first one, anyway. But apparently the government knew and advanced knowledge, it was all planned. Another one is the notable pattern of trading. The options of the airlines and the markets, the finance side of things.
Oh, on the stock exchange?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Now, I'm going to get into that in part two because that is actually one of the things that I couldn't debunk. And I'll go into it in part
inside
two.
Inside trading deals, was it, or something?
There is some very weird coincidences with the trades, the stock exchange, the money exchanged, the fact that the people involved, the traders, where this money and the investments went, they've never been released publicly. No one knows.
Oh.
So there's some real insider trading.
Which is highly illegal.
Yeah.
Under federal law.
And I saw one report that the total money that they think was being traded and everything...
The people that profited from it.
The people who profited.
Yeah.
Potentially $53
billion. Wow.
Yeah. The day before 9/11. So there is some weird stuff going on there. So I will come back to that because there is some things to talk about there. Another one was the investor. It's kind of similar to what I just said, but the investors of United and American Airlines netted a profit of $5 million after the attacks. Interestingly, the names of the investors remain undisclosed. And the $5 million remains unclaimed at the Chicago Exchange account.
Right.
So that's just like a... It's also to do with finance, but it's like a little subsection of like just the investors for the two airlines.
Right, yeah.
$5 million profit. That is fact. That's been proven. Reportedly, $100 million... could have been involved in criminal transactions in the hopes that the trail would disappear in the destruction of the mainframe computers in the attack.
Yeah, you'd have thought they'd be backed up some, but then maybe that was where the fourth plane was going.
Could be. That's the thing. No one knows. but $100 million there lost. Another one that you hear a lot with the conspiracy is Building 7. Collapse of Building 7.
The smaller building next door, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, wasn't there a reporter, a woman reporter, who's just literally saying, oh, we just heard that Building 7's fallen down, and she was stood in front of it, and it was still very much up.
Yeah, you could see it in the background. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. There is actually a...
So there is video evidence of that happening.
There is.
Right.
And I know that there's going to be conspiracy theorist people out there going, yes, he's mentioned Building 7. Unfortunately, I've got some news for part two where I debunk that.
Okay.
So, yeah, but Building 7 collapsing. The other thing I will just mention about Building 7 is people say that was also a controlled demolition.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not worth going into that specifically for part two, but essentially that building isn't going to be structured as thick and...
No,
the Twin Towers.
It wasn't nowhere near as tall, was it?
No.
It maybe, what, 20 floors or something?
I do actually have it written down.
Yeah, you don't have to answer that. But, I know it was significantly smaller than the two towers, wasn't it?
Yes, keep talking, because I actually want to find
it. You want to find it. Well, yeah.
The two towers
were like the tallest buildings in Manhattan at the time, weren't they? I think, or in New York at the time. They literally dominated the skyline. So anything next door would not have been anywhere near that.
Building 7 was 610 feet tall, 47 floors.
Okay, yeah, fair
enough.
There
you go. But yeah, we will come back to that. But there is a reason as to why it kind of collapsed the way it did and stuff. And it's just to do with the structure. It just wasn't it wasn't built. And then what actually happens...
it was a completely different style of building though, wasn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Because obviously...
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No, don't. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch, whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
The two towers were glass-clad, just square high-rises. We're going up, what was it, 110 floors, something like that?
Yeah, 110.
Yeah. Whereas Building 7 was quite classic sort of stone or brick central New York high-rises, weren't it? You know, an actual stone building rather than just glass high-rise, you know?
That's it. So that's the other thing I just mentioned, controlled demolitions. A lot of people think that the Twin Towers were, you know, inside job,
thermite.
And blown up, and it fell in a certain way that isn't to do with a plane. Again, part two.
I want to get into that because from my building experience, obviously when I was younger, I was trained as a builder and stuff like, and I know a certain amount about that sort of thing. And yeah, I'm not entirely convinced that it was a controlled explosion either.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't. so we'll go into that. Like I say, we're just gonna mention these and have a little chat about them. But part two, because we'll have a bit more time, we are just going to run through them and debunk them. So another one was the Pentagon was hit by a missile from the inside. That is generally one of the conspiracy theories.
Who fired it?
I've heard two theories. One, a missile from the inside. And
but we're talking an actual missile, not like an RPG.
No,
like
an actual missile.
Full missile that is launched from like an F-18 or something like that, you know, a fighter jet.
Yep.
Who would launch it?
Exactly. And there's another theory that it could have been a missile from the outside and it wasn't a plane. It was a missile. I can tell you now, it definitely was a plane.
I remember seeing plane wreckage.
No, there was, and there was body parts and all sorts. And also, when I get into part two, there is a reason as to why the plane didn't cause as much damage, because there's a lot of people that go, oh, well, the damage, there would have been more damage if it was a plane, because it was like a 60-foot
It wasn't
hole.
A direct hit, though, was it?
No, it wasn't.
No, okay, yeah. Yes. That's what I thought, yeah.
So that's another theory, missiles, apparently. Another big one, jet fuel can't melt steel.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons why it goes with the demolition theory, is certain degrees, there's no way that the jet fuel could have melted the steel, which made it collapse.
I don't believe that at all.
No, well, I can't wait to get into that one.
I've tried blacksmithing.
Yep.
And
yeah, you had your own forge.
Yeah, well, sort of. A little homemade one. But yeah, you can make steel very, very pliable with propane gas.
Yeah.
If propane gas is hot enough to do it, then jet fuel is going to be hot enough to do it.
Yeah. And that's the one theory I cannot wait to debunk, because I actually just had a conversation with my father-in-law about this, just to pick his brain, because I was thinking, he's an older gentleman. He would have seen it. And, and I just said, oh, where were you when 9/11? And he started talking to me about it. And that was the one thing that he spent the most time talking to me about, was the whole jet fuel thing. And
can't get steel hot enough.
Yeah, and he actually helped me with my research on that. Okay, so I cannot wait to get into that.
I want to get into that one next week, obviously.
Yes, yeah. Another conspiracy theory is random explosions heard in the building from people outside.
So in which building?
In the Twin Towers. Yeah, before they collapsed, and there was...
Well, that could be caused by anything.
Exactly, yeah. But people are saying, oh, it must have been a controlled demolition because we heard little explosions as we were fleeing. So, again...
But again, I mean... There's going to be all sorts of things in a massive commercial building like that. Mm-hmm. You know, even pressurized water will like explode. You know, the water pipes and stuff will make little explosions as they burst and stuff. Like, there's probably going to be some forms of igniting fuel, fire hydrants. Anything like that. Anything that's pressurized.
Yeah.
Put it under enough heat, it's going to explode.
Well, there'll be gas and all sorts in those buildings, won't there?
Yeah.
It's like, you see videos.
Central heating systems.
Yeah. There'll be people making their lunch on hobs and things, I imagine, and stuff. Yeah. And just,
kitchens, be, you know, fridges. The amount of gas that's in a fridge, if that catches on fire, it's going to explode.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to demolish the building.
Mm-hmm. So another one, which is pretty, pretty interesting, is, so that, you have to bear with me. So there's kind of two parts to this one. So the North American Aerospace Defense Command, also known as NORAD.
NORAD, yeah.
Had the capability of locating and intercepting planes on 9/11, but they were ordered to stand down. That is one of the theories. I'm not saying they did. That is just a theory. So people are saying, well, they've got all this technology. They can find planes and missiles exactly where they are, and they could have prevented that, but they didn't. So they must have been told to stand down and let it happen.
I've heard this theory.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's more likely that they were neglected to be told to scramble.
Mm.
You know, after the event or whatever. I don't know. I mean, that is a strange one. I'll look forward to your explanation on that one.
That one, the explanation, is another one I couldn't fully debunk.
Right.
But there is a very strong theory because of the time of it being 2001.
Yeah.
And the height of the FBI and the CIA didn't always get along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of along those lines of just information
not getting past where it needed to at the time.
But we'll go into it. But another one. So a woman called Valencia McClatchy took the only photograph of the mushroom cloud. And a lot of people said that it was a fake photo.
Mushroom cloud? There was a mushroom cloud?
There was a mushroom cloud. Yeah, yeah. So she had the only...
I don't remember a mushroom cloud.
She had the only actual photo of it, because I imagine with the chaos and panic.
Yeah.
She took the photo, and she was getting death threats and all sorts of people saying, you faked the photo, and it's not real. So conspiracy theorists say that she was working for the government and she made it up and whatever.
Well, obviously, like, the first thing you'd think when you hear mushroom cloud is nuclear. But I don't know. I'm pretty sure that there's other ways of creating a mushroom cloud from sort of explosion. I mean, volcanoes almost make a mushroom cloud when they go off, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. It's not like we're not talking
not exclusive to nuclear bombs.
No. We're not talking like a huge, huge mushroom cloud. I mean, it's obviously big for what happened. But,
yeah.
Basically, she has a really authentic photo, and these conspiracy theorists for years just told her it's fake, we don't believe it, and they've just used that as part of their evidence, I suppose.
Okay.
But again, I've managed to debunk that in part two.
Okay, fair enough.
I will also just say that the reason this is such a conspiracy theory is this has been going on over 20 years, and people still believe that there's a massive conspiracy, like it wasn't terrorism and things like that. And I can't wrap my head around the fact that it's been 20. The only other one I can think of is JFK.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
this
is why it is one of the biggest conspiracies in the world. Whether you just flat out think no, it's definitely terrorism, or whether you think no, this is conspiracy, or you're in between, it still shows you how huge this was. It's been, what, 23 years now?
Yeah.
And it's still talked about today.
I don't know whether I should say this because I know it's been banned on certain social medias, but I would say from Osama bin Laden's letter to America, where he broadcast, you know, his intentions and, you know, admitted to doing it and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That
comes up, so
okay, I'll brush on that. But I mean, yes, it could be tied in with a conspiracy, but I'd say that makes it fairly authentic that it was an attack on the US from outside, not from within, you know?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Logically, we think that way.
Yeah.
There are
why there's so many people still hanging on to this idea that their own government wanted to ruin the stock exchange and, you know, create absolute misery and havoc for millions of Americans.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
It is crazy. And it's weird. There is the thing is, man, it's I'm not going to spend too much time because I want to get into this on part two. All I will say is I'm not saying I don't believe that it was an inside job or anything like that. What I'm saying is it was definitely terrorism, definitely a tragedy, definitely happened the way it happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there are things that don't add up, and there are coincidences, and
there's possibly cover-ups involved.
There is, yeah, yeah. And there's certain things that I'll get into in part two that I think I'm not alone on this. I think a lot of people will scratch their head and go, that's odd. Is that coincidence?
Yeah.
What are the chances of that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like
yeah.
I say, I'm not saying it's this didn't happen or whatever. I'm just saying from my point of view, there is some weirdness about it. So I'll just quickly go for another couple ones. So 16 of the 19 hijackers shouldn't have even been let in to America because there was complications with their visas, but they were somehow let in anyway.
All right, okay.
That is another theory. Serial numbers of the wreckage for the plane where the passengers helped. They crashed in the middle of a field. Supposedly, according to theorists, the serial numbers don't match
the plane.
The plane. So that's something, again, I'll come back to that.
Okay.
And I'm going to fold that over so you can't see me.
Next week's notes.
Yeah. Okay. So, Israel and other countries planned the attacks to persuade Americans to support Israel. That's another theory.
Okay.
And it goes into...
Against what, Palestine?
It's to do with anti-Semitism.
I know they've been at war forever, haven't they?
So war forever. So it's basically it's a Jewish conspiracy for world domination.
Right.
Yeah, I know it's ridiculous, but that is another theory. Another theory, which this is actually a little bit funny to mention. So no planes were used at all, and it was all missiles and holograms. That is what some people believe, and it's that stupid that even conspiracy theory websites have kicked these people off, saying that is absolutely ridiculous.
So people who support the 9/11 conspiracy theories and have built websites around it saying, oh, it's the government and all this.
Yeah.
They now turn around and say, no, look, anybody saying that no planes were used in holograms, you're even too kooky for us.
Yes. Yeah, basically. Right. So that is just nuts to me.
Yeah.
No black boxes were found or recovered. That is a big part of the theory.
I've heard that. I don't know how true it is.
That is actually what I had in mind, because when I started doing this research and going into this, I was actually one of those people that was like, oh, I think it's an inside job. I don't know. Like I say, I did believe that it was terrorism, but a part of me was strongly like, oh, nah, inside job. It's only since doing this research for 2 days and going into it, I've actually changed my mind on quite a lot of things. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know this. And then I'm starting to find out information that I will share with you.
You're getting solid facts about it.
Yeah, and science and all sorts. And I'm like, ah, it all kind of makes sense to me now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So no black boxes were ever found or recovered is another theory. The Bin Laden tapes you mentioned.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He says America is to blame, not him. That is one of the quotes from Bin Laden. Is he blamed America and said, you want to look at yourselves before you start pointing the finger at me. I've done nothing wrong, basically. This is what he said in one of the tapes. So therefore, conspiracy theorists are now saying, well, he never admitted to it. He straight away said, you want to look at yourselves, inside job kind of thing. So that's one.
I thought he did admit it.
No, he's
okay, fair enough.
He has declared war on America and said some things, but the actual attacks of 9/11, he's never claimed that it was him. He's never taken responsibility for it.
Okay, fair enough.
But again, these are all things that we're going to get into.
But the terrorists themselves were found to be members of Al-Qaeda.
Yes, yeah,
which he was the head honcho of Al-Qaeda. Yeah. So
mm-hmm.
The buck stopped here, you know?
Yes, yeah. Basically, the evidence doesn't look great for him. But he's obviously, he's a mastermind of all this stuff. So he's got to do and say what he can to...
Well, he was a political leader as well, I suppose.
Passports and DNA were found in the rubble. So there are people that say, well, how can XYZ happen? But you can find a passport. That doesn't make sense. Like all the certain parts of the plane and the black boxes, they weren't recovered.
They disappeared, but there's passports lying around on the streets.
Which are made out of paper and, plastic. So that is another
theory.
It's
a mystery, yeah.
I can't wait to get into that as well. So that is going to get debunked. Now, this one is very, very interesting to me. I will credit, I saw this clip several times from the Joe Rogan experience.
Oh, yeah.
So I have to mention it because that's where I saw it, and it kept, every time I typed in 9/11 and done my research, it kept popping up.
Yeah.
So there was a man called Donald Rumsfeld. The day before 9/11, literally September 10th, the day before, $2.3 trillion were missing. And he... is it the gold reserves or whatever every country has? Generally, America was missing $2.3 trillion.
Right.
There is video of this. He comes out and says this in like a news thing, just an announcement. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he says, "Yep, $2.3 trillion have gone missing. We need to sort this out, find out where this money is." And 9/11 happens the next day. And the plane that went into the Pentagon just so happened to crash into where all the accounting and finance was, where the 2.3...
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that is another one of those things where, I'll say it now, I can't debunk that. That is one of those things where the commission report and stuff say it's just coincidence.
Right.
But that is one of the main ones that got me thinking on the side of the conspiracy theorists. I was like, how do you explain that one?
It is... Yeah, it's shady again. 2.3 trillion missing. I mean,
we will get into it because the Pentagon is heavily armored with concrete, steel, all sorts. It is very heavily
armoured. Isn't it, I think?
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. Missile-proof, same as like
Tower of London, where they keep the crown jewels, and that's pretty much nuke-proof.
Yeah. So, the other thing that conspiracy theories say is... conspiracy theorists say. I know we're running for time, but...
Oh, all right, you're right.
So, essentially, the theorists say that the Americans would have known about, like, the planes and using them as weapons. And the commission report and the government, FBI, CIA, all of them, they all turn around and say, well, this is the first occurrence. 9/11 was the first occurrence of using planes as weapons. We'd never heard of it before. This is not a thing that happens. Well, I will just say that I have found some evidence of them kind of knowing about and trying to use themselves of planes as weapons.
Oh, okay.
So, and we're going back to 1994, where there's three examples of failed attempts to deliberately crash planes into buildings, including one where a lone pilot crashed a small plane into the lawn of the White House. I'd never heard of that.
No.
Apparently in 1994. The Bojinka plot was a foiled large-scale al-Qaeda terrorist attack to blow up 11 airliners and their passengers as they flew from Asia to America, due to take place in January 1995. In July 2001, at the G8 summit in Genoa, anti-aircraft missile batteries were installed following a report that terrorists could try to crash a plane to kill George Bush and other world leaders. So in July 2001 of the same year of the attacks, they knew about planes as weapons. And this one, I don't know about the truth of this one, but it's there. So take what you will from it. But supposedly or allegedly, whatever you want me to say, on the morning of September 11th, 2001, the same day as the attacks, the National Reconnaissance Office, which is responsible for operating U.S. reconnaissance satellites, is that the right word?
Yeah, reconnaissance, yeah.
Had scheduled an exercise simulating the crashing of an aircraft into a building. Right. So they were scheduled to have like a fire drill, but with planes and stuff.
Oh,
but it never went through, supposedly, allegedly, however you want to take that. And the U.S. government lied and knew Saudi Arabia was involved, is another conspiracy theory. And the motives for the attacks.
Yeah.
That's what we'll finish on. So that's pretty much all the conspiracy theories done. Excuse me. I'm still getting over a cold.
Yeah. We both are, in fairness.
So I've held it together for that long, trying not to cough.
Maybe a few coughs and sounding a little bit nasally, but we're trying our best.
Yeah. Whew. Right. So that's pretty much the bulk of the conspiracy theories. Yeah. So now some people say that... What were the motives? If it was an inside job, what would the motives be? So there's two main motives.
Ruin the international stock exchange and profit from it, I would imagine. Would
okay.
Be the biggest one.
That is three main theories then. I only had two. Yeah, that could be one. Another one would have been the invasions to justify going to war. It's with Iraq and Afghanistan.
Right, yeah.
But another thing that comes in with that theory is the natural gas pipeline and the oil, poppy seeds, all of that stuff. So one motivation would be to invade other countries and start wars, because we all know America profits from war.
Yes.
That's not a conspiracy theory.
And they love oil, and there's a lot of oil around that region.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one theory. And the other one is a new world order. So Alex Jones, I think a lot of people would have heard him about Alex Jones, and other personalities hold that 9/11 was initiated by a variety of banking, corporate, globalization, and military interests for the purpose of creating a globalist government such as the New World Order conspiracy. So that's the two main ones that I found as to why theorists think that...
It's a fair theory, but it didn't work, did it?
No.
So,
No, it certainly didn't. So that is all I've got for you today. I will just finish off by saying the National Institute of Standards and Technology have investigated and rejected the claims made by 9/11 conspiracy theorists. The 9/11 Commission and most of the civil engineering community accept the impacts of jet aircrafts at high speeds in combination with subsequent fires led to the collapse of the Twin Towers. So, right, okay, yeah. You know, the Commission reports and the government, everyone have said this is what's happened.
It's the official report. Yeah.
Yes. So I will end with that. So you've got a few theories there. And then part two next week. I can't wait. We're going to get into
turn this on its head.
We're going to get to the juicy parts. We're going to give you all the explanations, all the science, everything behind these theories. A lot of them I can debunk. Some of them I can't, and it's just weird. Tune in and find out next week.
Yeah, do that. Okay, so no paranormality scale this week. We'll hold off on that one.
Yes.
But we've definitely got plenty to be thinking about for the next week. And next week we're going to really dive into this. That was like a nice, very well presented outline of the events of the day and around that day. For anybody that wasn't there at the time, or wasn't even alive at the time, you know, young people just literally missed it, and it's all it is to them is a myth, isn't it?
So
those are the events as they happened. Those are some of the conspiracy theories that Josh has nailed down, and next week
there is more, and there will be people saying you haven't mentioned this, you haven't mentioned that, but if there's not that much to back it up. I haven't mentioned it. It's probably not worth mentioning.
Yeah,
I've just gone for the main points and the main conspiracy theories that people have said over the years.
That's absolutely fair, mate. So, yeah, next week we're going to dig into it.
Yeah.
Unearth some juicy details.
Oh, it's going to be juicy. It's going to be juicy.
And level it with concrete.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Right. Well, we'll just finish it straight like that. Until next week. I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK doing something very unique.
And edgy.
Yeah, until then, ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.